is something we have not seen from Charles Jourdain.
I'm a black belt. People seem to forget, but it was a good reminder today.
Charles Jourdain!
Hats off to Matt Frivola for cashing in on what he said he was going to do.
Let me get a steamroller chant. Steamroller!
On video. I've never been happier.
I'm made for a fucking podcast. That's dangerous. Listen to me, we're at it.
Welcome to UFC Unfiltered. I want to start talking in a sexy, sultry voice to really get people going. Matt Serra returns. Yeah.
Going Matt. To another podcast. I'm sorry. I'm back. Sorry.
Welcome back. Yeah, we had, I know you were probably flying, had a really fun episode on Monday with Michael Chiesa. I mean, a really, really good time.
Wait a minute, man. You sound like you really
had
a fun with the guest teacher here.
Yeah, he's a good guy, Mike. He was a great fun to talk to. I mean, really, just a...
Did he sing?
What's that?
Did he sing?
He hung up afterwards. He called me, and I was like, I just want to hear you sing. And he just sang to me for an hour. It was nice.
If I didn't know any better, I would think you're trying to make me jelly.
Well, if you want to...
You might be, but I was busy hanging out with all your idols.
You want to zip off and hang out with legends?
Chuck Liddell. George.
Oh, Chuck was there. Nice.
Quentin, Rampage, Jackson. It was like a fucking high school reunion for me over there. I was at For the Love of MMA in Manchester, England. And it's funny because it was half MMA and half wrestling, but professional wrestling.
Right.
So it's kind of like you got some of these. And some of them I recognize, like the Big Show and guys like that.
Oh, you mean WWE? Oh, that's right, because you guys merged.
No, that kind of wrestling, yeah. So like one side of the thing was those guys, and the other side of the thing was the MMA guys. But they were very nice guy. The guy, Santino, he was a very nice guy. And, some guys are really older with the face paint and stuff. Like, yeah. Stuff.
By the way, Matt, I forgot WWE and UFC are part of the same company.
Oh, that has nothing to do with this, though. This is
no. I just realized that. Oh, yeah, they are part of it.
That is exciting, though. But this was cool, Jimmy. It was, you know, meeting the fans. It was set up like a Comic-Con type thing.
Right.
Sitting down at your table, and the people come over. They want something either signed to get a picture of you, and then we did a Q&A. I was set to teach one day for like 45 minutes. I ended up they needed somebody for the next day, or they asked. So I didn't have my clothes with me. So I had my jeans and I said, give me a rash guard. I enjoy teaching, Jimmy. So yeah. I took 2 days. So I did the other day in jeans and taught some stuff from Matt.
Oh, you taught a class. Okay.
Yeah. Cause that was part of it too. So I teach, and that's something, you know, some of the handler, this meld, you're really in your element. Damn right.
How do you know what, like, when you're going to teach a class like that, all right, now you could have blue belts and purple belts and white belts. How do you know what to talk about in that class?
It's a good question, Jimmy, because going over there, I didn't know who I'm the type where I could, like, switch it on the fly because I've been doing it for 30 years. So I went in there, like, all right, there might be somebody's first, you know, introduction to anything in jiu-jitsu. But the first day I went in there, it was a handful. It wasn't too crazy. There's a lot of people off, like, on the sidelines watching.
Yeah.
Like under 10, it's like 10 people in the fucking thing. And every single one of them was from blue, not everybody trained, from blue to black belt. So I go, okay, let me change this up. And I did. I went into some of my underhook escapes from bottom and somebody's passing and into a reversal to getting on top to getting an arm lock and then going for that arm lock. If they're defending it, going for a different arm lock. So it was fun. And I could pretty much read the crowd. They had a good time.
They enjoyed.
Yeah, because they know I'm having a good time. I'm having a ball.
Was that class the one you were supposed to teach or no?
That was the one I was going to teach, yeah.
Yeah, and most people were just watching.
a lot of people watching. Yeah, but a lot of the seminars were like that, from mine to everybody's. Like, they weren't as crowded as I thought they would be. They were very, there was like a handful of people, but then there's a ton of people right off to the side watching. It's weird.
Yeah.
I'm like, hey, you cheap fucks, you don't want to change. What's the matter?
Did you see the Big Show? How big is that guy? I've interviewed him, but he's a giant man.
I mean, you know what? He's very big. I didn't get too close because I'm sure I'd be up to his balls, but he's very big.
He's a massive guy.
Nice. I seen a lot of him in the, upstairs with like the green room in this place, and everybody was very nice. But I really like seeing, you know, the guys. I mean, listen, my first fight in the UFC, and Chuck Liddell was on that card. That was in 2001. So I know these guys 20 years, you know what I mean? So it kind of felt like a high school reunion.
Yeah.
That's what it felt like. And then, you know, in Manchester, we were set up on the, our hotel, the Hilton here, was like behind it, like attached to it. Like, you open up the balcony, and on the balcony, it's like a ball field. It's like a cricket court, like a cricket.
Oh.
So it was interesting. So my neighbor was this kid Aaron, buddy of I think he does stuff for Rampage. He's like getting them these. He's one of his managers or something. Good kid, like 35, you know. So we were looking for some stuff to, you know, relax us, you know. So we found some Manchester cheese. So it was on the they get hooked us up with that Manchester cheese. So we were on the balcony doing that because his room was right next to mine. So we were bullshitting, having that Manchester cheese, watching the cricket fucking court. It was a beautiful time, man. That was nice. And then, hey, man, everybody's great. They give you handlers. This person, Mel, this chick Mel, was a sweetheart. Helped me out. They were all great. Andy, the one who ran it together. I'm telling you, I had a very good time.
That's good. Now, you flew over, what, Matt, Thursday morning?
Wednesday night.
Oh, you did go Wednesday. That's smart. So you arrived Thursday morning.
Me, the only way to fly.
What's that?
Business class. You got it.
Of what airline?
Aer Lingus. Sounds like a fucking STD.
But really? Oh, I've never flown them.
It's an Irish airport. Irish one.
Was it nice?
Yeah, I enjoyed it. Yeah, I sleep. Hey, dude. I got a bone to pick with this thing. By the way, I had to do my VR. I was having trouble getting into the Wi-Fi on my VR.
Sure.
So I had some time to kill on Friday, right? So it's funny, man. It brings me back to that old Louis C.K. bit that he talked about, how when he travels as a comedian, he kind of feels like a drifter. You know what I mean? And like in a town, he feels like a drifter. He's not talking to anybody. So the first day before I met up with any of the guys, I was by myself, you know? So I went to the, I'm like, yo, where can I go? I'm asking people. So there was like a big, like huge mall complex in Trafford, Manchester. So it was a big mom walking around the mall. So I decided to see a movie, right? So I went to go see John Wick, the new one. Now, listen, it's amazing how I can use my disbelief to watch superhero movies, no problem. But when something's supposed to be in like the real world, like John Wick, I have problems with the fuck. I fucking walked out.
You can't watch. By the way, Alan, Charles Jourdain is in the way.
I'll get Charles on the phone. I'm going to tell him too why I walked out.
Okay.
Yeah. Scene. Now, without giving stuff away, I'm going to say scene of why I walked out of the new John Wick movie.
Yeah. I've never seen any. Have you seen any of them?
Yeah, I've seen some of them, but I don't know. It take them or leave them for me. But there's a certain point where I said, fuck, I'm out. Really?
Yeah.
I'm out. That's what I said to myself.
Let's bring Charles on.
Boom, how are you, gentlemen?
Hey, buddy, how you doing?
Nice to meet you, bro. How's everything?
Likewise, I'm happy to meet you guys. You're the one who destroyed George.
Oh, no! That's how we started this off. I was just with George in Manchester, England, and we did like an MMA expo over there, and he's quite the gentleman. Me and George, it's so funny, because you could be punching each other in the face and ruining each other's dreams, and then you become really good friends after time.
It's absolutely funny. We're all fighting for the same thing, and we respect each other. We're warriors, you know. So at the end of the day,
now your instructor Fabio Holanda, you still with Fabio?
Yes, sir. Yeah, right. He's right there next to me.
Fabio, you're there. You don't say hello, motherfucker? Fabio, it's your friend. You know this ball, man. He wasn't
sure if he could step in or not.
He could definitely step in. I want him to step in at the reunion. I know Fabio a long, long time. Fabio was the great Patrick Cote. Fabio, man, how are you?
Hey, what's up, man? How are you, my friend?
I miss you, man. It's been a minute, like Jimmy likes to say. How you been?
I've been great, man. I've been great. I'm here, you know, we're still in the business, so.
Fabio.
How can I complain?
I want to ask you when you're there with Charles, because this is very important. You are Charles's jiu-jitsu instructor. You gave Charles his black belt. You made him a Jedi. But he's fighting a Gracie. Is he going to be... I mean, listen, man, he's fighting Crone Gracie. So when it goes to the floor, if it goes to the floor, what's going on, man? Talk to me. He's your black belt.
Hey, remember, I already have Cote beaten Almeida. If you forgot about that.
Wait, no, I didn't hear that. Say it again.
Remember when Cote beat Almeida as well, right?
When Patrick Cote beat Almeida?
Yeah.
Yes, Ricardo Almeida.
Shit, man.
You forgot about this fight.
I did forget about the fight because, you know why? They're both friends of mine. I probably wanted to get it out of my mind.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, so listen. He doesn't have to just take him down and try to mount him. He could use his jiu-jitsu, not to play the jiu-jitsu. That's what you're telling me, Fabio.
100%, my friend.
Fabio, I got the nugget out of you that I needed. Thank you, brother.
Hey, but don't be surprised with the submission, all right?
Oh, shit! Listen to me. I'm excited. I'm excited, because everybody's excited for the return of Crone.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
Like, oh, who's he going to fight? Well, this is the gentleman we're going to fight. He's going to fight. Oh, all right, we're going to get to know you more. Fabio, thank you, bro.
Thank you, man. And see you around, all right?
Definitely, man. I'll be over there, man. I'll be seeing you guys.
Oh, beautiful, man. Can't wait.
Thank you.
You got a clean ear for our buddy.
Yeah. Now, do you know...
all right, gentlemen.
Do you know, Charles, why hasn't Crone fought in 3.5 years? Do you know?
No, I don't. I saw a couple of things, but like when you go to YouTube, it's mostly him explaining why or high the planet is an eye. It's not flat and stuff like that. So other than that, I didn't see anything for the reason he was not fighting. But I saw something recently popped up and he said that he wants to change the way we see martial arts. And he said that it was never in his mind to retire. So he's been training, and maybe COVID was a thing as well, his gym. He has his reason, but I'm very glad he's back. A great fighter and a phenomenal example of what a warrior is.
Okay, yeah. So it wasn't like there was no lingering injury or something. It might have just been a decision that he was making when he was going to come and fight again.
Not to my knowledge, yeah.
And when you grew up, was GSP, I guess you're from Montreal, right?
Yes, I am.
And I spent a lot of time in Canada, in Montreal in particular. Was GSP one of your idols?
So basically what happened, we got in touch with UFC when Anthony Pettis did the WEC kick on the cage. It was all over the news. And I remember I was young and I saw that on the little square TV and I was like, oh, that was cool. And then my father is like, yeah, it's UFC. He was calling it UFC back then. And it's like, yeah, we have George St. Pierre. So I went on YouTube, wrote George St. Pierre. And then our family treat was every month because pay-per-views were like every month back in the day. Yeah. And we would go to this restaurant called La Cage au Sport, and then we would drink Coke and popcorn and eat the nachos and watch all the guys fighting. That's how it started for us.
That's wild, man. And how old were you when you got involved with your first martial art?
I started training at 15. And I started fighting at 16 years old. And me and Louis, because my younger brother does it as well, we were only like the federation, like in Quebec, it's still illegal to do MMA that's not professional, amateur MMA. So we had to go on Indian Reserve to fight there. And only people who are 18 and above could fight there. So we had to sign waivers that we were like, oh, no, it's good that we, even though we're 16. So me and my brother were like 15 and 16 fighting these big men on the Indian Reserve. I became champion of that Indian Reserve, actually, when I was like 17 or something. So, yeah, that was a wild start to this UFC journey.
You're like a kid who would sign up and to fight in like the Revolutionary War in the 1700s. Those young soldiers would go and just like, you know, they would, a lot of them would lie about their age. So you were fighting grown-ups when you were a teenager. What made you want to do it? Was it watching UFC where you said, I want to do this professionally?
Yeah, it was just cool. Like the first time I saw the like that kick on the cage, I asked my father, is it legal? Like, you can fight now? Because I grew up with three brothers, so four guys, five with my father. So it was very intense environment. And every time we would get into a physical altercation at school, it was always, no, you're bad, it's not okay, et cetera. But we were just kids with a lot of energy, and we needed to find a way to spend it properly. I think a thing that guys says a lot when they receive their black belt is like, oh, jiu-jitsu saved my life, or martial arts saved my life. It's something, at first, the more you hear it, it sounds a little bit corny, but it does. It helps you center yourself and put all that crazy energy you have inside of you towards something that you like. And even if you're not competing, I know fantastic guys who are at the gym who got involved with martial art and they're not even competing, but they said, man, it straightened up my life tremendously. So I owe a lot to martial art and also to my master, Fabio Holanda.
Man, you seem like a mature kid at 27. Look at you. What do you like to do? You're reading books, you're watching, you're streaming some shows. Tell us what you like to, some of your hobbies you're into besides, you know, training like a savage.
I'm a big fan of the Japanese culture when it comes to anime and manga and the way they talk about their stories, like the samurai, like the code of honor. That's why before I knew I was fighting Kron, you know, I'm still a big fan of the individual, the way he carries the martial art behind him. So yeah, everything that's around, let's say, stoicism, the absence of emotion and the presence of conscience, is something I dwell a lot upon, because, man, I have white hair and I'm only 27, you know. So it was stressful life getting into the UFC at 23, but now I learned to go with the flow of everything, and whatever happens, and you accept your fate, you accept your destiny. But the only thing you can do is prepare to the best of your ability, and this is what I'm doing for this fight Saturday.
And what are you, is there any, obviously, you know, Kron is just another fighter, but is there any type of an image of a Gracie you have, because again, that legendary family, when you go up against somebody from that family, does it feel different than fighting, say, another high level black belt?
Oh, of course, it's something. When it comes to fight night, it needs to be nullified, of course. I don't need to be intimidated by the man, because I would accept a jiu-jitsu fight with Kron tomorrow. That I would have no issue with. But of course, by being like not dumb, I'm not going to go for a double leg or flying triangle as I'm starting the fight. You know, my ability lies in the speed, distance management, and proper strikes without getting hit. So this is what I'm going to do. But yeah, when it comes to the Gracie name, it's a fantastic thing to add up to a resume. But yeah, like I said, I've been watching like Patrick Cote against Almeida. There was also Tim Kennedy fought Roger Gracie. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I think it was in Strikeforce.
Yes.
Yeah. So
that's right. That's
a fantastic right. Fight. So yeah, you need to watch those fights from these world-class jiu-jitsu guy transitioning to MMA, because now you can see that. Like, people were like, oh, did you work on your wrestling? I'm like, Kron is not a wrestler. He would get you down with the double under. I agree with that. But more judo throws and sneaky trips. He's a very sneaky guy when it comes to his grappling ability to get the fight to the ground. And he wants to camouflage all of this with proper hands. So it was a very, very tricky camp. But I think we came up with a very good strategy. And we have plan A, B, C, depending on how it goes, because it's hard to impose yourself against Kron, because Kron fights in a way that he keeps going forward. He doesn't care if you take him down. That's actually what he wants. So he keeps going forward, pressure, pressure, pressure. So we need to be able to counter that pressure very fast.
And you wonder what it will be. Anybody with a long layoff, I mean, you know, John Jones showed the layoff certainly didn't hurt him at all. Some guys that have a little bit of rust, and other guys, it doesn't affect at all. Even if they're training, it's still not the same, obviously, as actively fighting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I mean, it would be affected. It would be something that would affect him if he was like his MMA career was the only thing he had. But this guy had a gi since he was like 5 or 2, 3 years old. You know, he's been a warrior all his life. So I doubt he's been out. I don't think he's overheating. We see his mentality throughout this video and the way he carries himself. So I doubt he was completely out. I don't think we saw Kron Gracie get to 190 and get fat. And,
right.
You know, so when it comes to that, I think we're going to see a very polished version of him. Of course, time catches you to some point. I think he's 35 years old and I'm 27. So there's like a 8 years gap in between us, which is tremendous. But yeah, I mean, we'll see. I'm very curious about what type of version he's going to bring Saturday.
You're starting off the show, first fight on the main card. That's exciting.
Yes, it is. And it's my third time in New York. Last time when I fought Shane Burgos, it was a very close decision. People's opinion was a decision. And it left me a bittersweet taste. But I know fans from New York were cheering for him. Long Island was his backyard. But after the fight, the reception of the people was tremendous. I came out in the arena where everybody was booing me, while at the end, everybody was cheering me. So that was a nice feeling. It's going to be my third time in New York, and now it's time to get a proper win in front of the New York fan.
Well, just to let you know, this is going to be in New Jersey, and they could be real fucks over there. So they might be booing me. I'm right next door. They were fucking funny. Jersey don't give a shit. Boo.
Yeah, they boo me, and I'm from New Jersey. Shore,
so I'm good.
They boo you.
Yeah, they're pricks. So my girlfriend used to live in Montreal, so I did that drive every weekend for a while. You guys actually drove down instead of flying?
Yeah, we did. No flying, no border, no mask, no none of these stuff. So it was good to just drive down, enjoy the road, and it's a nice road. It can be boring a little bit alone. Like, let's say you're going to see your girlfriend, but if you're with the other Warriors, it's good. It's a good trip.
How long a drive is that?
Six hours and a half, sort of.
Yeah,
six.
Really? That's crazy. That's not that bad.
It's not bad. No, and Air Canada is always delayed leaving LaGuardia. So it was like, there were so many times I missed a trip to Vancouver. We were meeting in Montreal and flying to Vancouver, and my Air Canada flight was canceled. So whatever, you're better off just driving. It's easier. It's less of a headache. You know, you can stop taking a shit when you want. It's not a bad flight. So when did you come in? When did you get to Jersey?
Yesterday. It's a cool little spot. Not a lot of things to do, though, but I like it. It doesn't matter. Like, it's fight week. We're more focused on making weight and having the mind connected to the fight.
Isn't it nice too? You don't have to change time zones or any of that stuff. One thing that's nice.
Yeah, like last time I fought in Paris, and I fought like last year. It was my first long layoff. I took 8 months off since the last fight because I overpushed my body. Like going back to 165, going back to 45. I fought 5 times in a year. And there was one time that I was supposed to fight Ilya Topuria as late replacement because Mosvar injured himself. So I did the weight, come back. No, it doesn't work because Topuria pulled out. So yeah, it was a very harsh on the body and the mind. So now that 8 month layoff made me relax a bit and enjoy and prepare myself properly for an opponent that didn't pull out. I had so many opponent pulled out, Leitman and this guy. I had so many of that in that year. So now, same opponent, same game plan, same strategy. And after we both had layoff, of course, his was bigger than mine. But yeah, here we are.
What's your favorite anime movie?
I think in terms of animation,
if
needs
you're
to
trying
be.
Trying to get somebody into it. Like, say you want to say, hey, Matt, you got to check out this
movie. Because anime, most of the time, they come in form of series, like multiple episodes. Because movie, they're always a movie about the manga, but the manga has more like multiple episodes. But if I would suggest one that most of the people have suggested with, it's called Attack on Titan. It's a very, very interesting story. People are stuck in a wall and there's a world outside, but they cannot go see the world because there's those titans. And then you go, the more you discover about it, it's cool. The animations are good. The characters are fantastic. And if you want just martial artists like Baki, Kengan Ashura, it's all about martial art, but they go deep into the pancreas history, like when it was in Rome. Okay, my bad. Yeah. So yeah, Rome in that time, what was like the Greco fighting, they go through the history of martial art because these Japanese writers are very knowledgeable of where martial art comes from and why it is the way it is. So
what's the name of that one?
This one would be Kengan Ashura. It's on Netflix.
Is it?
Yeah.
King and what? And Ashura.
Kengan Ashura.
Asher with an A. Remind me, Jimmy.
Yeah.
I'll forget it. I don't watch anime. I've never. What's the one that everybody says is so good? And it's on Death Notebook or Death Book?
The notebook, yeah. It's very cool. It's like a series of mysteries, and like this very young kid is in possession of a book that if he writes your name, you die. And then there's the best enquêteur. I don't know how to say that. The guys who are trying to find him, they're very good. So it's like Sherlock Holmes type stuff, but it's intense because many people are dying. And this kid has a God complex by being so young, and he thinks he's doing the right thing because he's killing people who are in jail. No, it's a very good story. It's a very good story.
There's an animated. It's an anime, but they also made a regular
movie.
Wasn't that good?
But unfortunately, when they do an adaptation of a manga and they put it in real life, it's not the same thing. And the actors, the way they show emotions and everything, it was very low quality. Unfortunately, they tried to do a Dragon Ball movie one day, like in the 2006, and it was horrible. You know, it's something that needs to be animated.
Yeah, I want to watch that one because I've heard it. Everyone says that's a really great one to watch. If you want to watch an anime that kind of like shows you how good it is, that's on Netflix, right?
Yes, it is. And I don't know if you recall, but sometimes when the Israel Adesanya is fighting, opening a book and he writes a name before, like he does all those crazy anime things. But sometimes he opens a book and then he writes his name. And he said, "I write your name on my dead book right before the fight, right in front of the camera." So that's a connection to that anime.
I don't think Jimmy's more into like the Street Fighter remake, the live action with Jean-Claude Van Damme. Mm-hmm. Jimmy likes that. I don't think he'll like this. Didn't you say you liked that one?
What Jean
Van Damme was Guile?
No, I didn't.
It was funny.
So when it comes to real life action,
I didn't make that up. It was horrible.
But this, I want to see a Notebook. That's the one I want to see.
Good choice. Good one. And also when it comes to real life action movies, I think nothing beats the John Wick series right now. And also the fourth just came out. And
Matt said it was great. Matt loved it.
Me and you are at a fucking impasse. Listen, I literally, before you got on, I'm glad you brought this up. Because I was by myself in Manchester. I walked into that movie, right? It was between that and Return of the Jedi. I should have. Well, with my instincts and hung out with some Ewoks for a couple hours.
We're seeing neither.
Why did I? I'm going to say a scene. It's not really a spoiler for anybody that didn't see it, but you did see it. This is the scene when I walked out of this movie. There's a new hitman in town, right? He's got a dog, cool hitman. You know him, right? You know what I'm talking about? The black guy. Good, cool. I like him so far, right? This guy's a new player in town. He's going to go for that contract with John Wick. Okay. He looks like he can handle himself. So he meets with he meets at the table or whatever they fucking call it, and to discuss the contract. So all of a sudden the guy's like, "All right, you want it? Boom, puts a knife into his hand. The knife is in his hand, Jimmy. There's a knife sticking
in
his hand. So he goes, "Look, the guy, I'm gonna paraphrase this. Charles, you know what I'm talking about. The guy goes to him, "Look, you want this contract?" And again, I'm paraphrasing. You're gonna do either one of two things. You could pull. There's two type of guys. A guy that could want to be for himself, that would protect himself and care about his health. I'm paraphrasing. That type of guy will pull the knife out. Or if you really want this contract on John Wick, you pull your hand out of the knife.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So the knife's in there. So you see him going. All right. So he pulled his hand out of the knife.
Yeah.
The next scene, he's got it wrapped up. But, hey, how about an ibuprofen? Where's those? Yeah. Are you serious?
There's no
serious.
Way.
you think that hand will ever be the same? Or do you think he's going to be walking around with a fucking... He pulled the hand. Any kind of nerve damage? Or what happened? did he put it in just right where it went? He didn't touch any major... Is he ever going to use that hand again?
No.
Anyway,
Matt, you like Star Wars.
Star Wars,
but so you can't watch this because the guy didn't take an ibuprofen. He didn't take an Advil.
Is this guy not dealing with the pain? Is it the next thing wrapped up? It's like, okay, all right, really?
Yeah, but there's like memes about the movie as well. Like we're having John Wick like fall from like six stories and get hit by seven cars. This is the John Wick universe. So those are the things you're like, yeah.
It's to be expected.
and also, fight scenes. People talk about the fight scenes. Some shit's cool. Sometimes there's some jujitsu in there. But then he's fighting a blind guy who's one of the hitmen. And they're basically doing their fucking karate with a gun in their hand. So like, ding, ding, ding. So you're fucking karate chops. You're shooting him with the gun. He's missing. Boom! This man! Boom!
A blind hitman?
A blind hitman who's, they both got guns. They're fighting. And every once in a while, they throw in a fucking bullet or two. Baby! Fucking.
And they got the suit to protect it.
Yeah, man. Holy fuck. Very little move era, John Wick. Anyway.
All right, Charles.
That's why I walked out of that movie. And I'm into superhero movies, so it's ridiculous. I don't know why my brain can't say, dude, you got to have the disbelief for this. So what? Mm-hmm. Think I can hold that out. Maybe he's a really quick healer. I don't
know. Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry, Charles.
With your Avengers cut.
I know you love the John Wick shows. Most people do.
Yeah. You
know? Ever since Theo from Game of Thrones got the jump on John Wick, dude, you don't even have a fucking Schloman shield or something. This motherfucker breaks in your house and hits you with a pipe. And then you're the deadliest assassin. Oh, let's upgrade the purse, the reward for killing him, the $20 million. And oh my God. Theo broke in his house, and he's like, oh, what is there, a puddle on the floor? He gets hit in the fucking head. He could have took a shit on him. This is me and my problem with the whole John Wick thing. Sorry, Charles.
I get it. It's understandable.
All right, buddy.
Hey, Charles, anyway, before we let you go, are you going to stay after the fight? Are you going to stay in town for a couple days, go to New York, go out to eat, do anything before you drive back?
No, unfortunately, I have a lot of things going on at home, and I need to go see the fiance and go take care of everything back there. But I it's something we're going to be, like, when I travel for the fun of it, I always bring her with me. We travel the world, Colombia, wherever. So New York is already something we would be interested in going to, of course.
Oh, but you'd want to do it just with her for fun. When you're working, you're working.
Exactly. I see it's not a jab at him. I think Cejudo's work ethic is tremendous. But yesterday I went to the training room and, you know, they're all there with their family and he's holding his kid and then training. I'm like it works for him. You know, he's triple C champion, everything. But me, for myself, when it's war week, it's war week. And there's no woman in the not no woman, but you get no fiance.
Your family.
No,
of
course. Kids. Exactly. So there's a time for everything, but if it works for him, which it does, it's good for him. But me, it's not a thing for me.
Guys are very split on that. And it's an individual thing. Like, there are guys who I know who love to travel with their families. They always want to bring somebody. And then there's other, like, guys like yourself who just kind of want no distractions. And it depends on the fighter.
Yes.
Good luck on Saturday, man. Great fight.
Thank you very much,
against Crone Gracie, the opening fight of the main card. Of course, Aljo and Henry Cejudo fighting it out for the Bantamweight Championship. Incredible main event. And have a great fight, man. We'll talk to you again.
All right, Charles.
Thank you, gentlemen. It was a pleasure.
All right, Charles. Pleasure talking to you. Be good.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, Matt, you're going to be there. We didn't even get into Aljamain against Cejudo. You will be there for that.
Yes, I will be there. It's going to be very exciting. I talked to Longo. I think I'm rooming with Longo, which is, I don't know what to say about that.
But you have to.
I hope we got different toilets. You know, when you're over in Manchester, you go to the bathroom, they look at you funny.
Like, what's that?
You ask for the bathroom. Like, you know where the restroom is, bathroom? They're like, your toilet. You want the toilets. Where's the toilet? So when you're over here, it sounds a little more weird. If I'm in a place, I'm in a restaurant. Hey, where's the toilet? It sounds a little
always say that. You know, my girlfriend hates when I go, I'll say to somebody, hey, is there a bathroom I have to make in the toilet bowl? That really annoys. Tell them you have to make in the toilet bowl. That really bugs people.
Say that.
I do that all the time.
Now that you said that, I think I have to make in the toilet bowl.
I have to make in the toilet bowl.
How soon until our next guest is here?
Young Jake would have to let us know.
Jake, how soon for Maddie? Because I have to use the restroom.
Why don't you just run to the bathroom, Matt?
By the way, you said
he just popped into the waiting room. Why don't we just tell him? Do you have to shit? How long of a trip is this? You gotta take a squirt or you gotta shit?
bring him in. I have to shit.
You gotta shit? All right.
Leave all this in.
Of course it's staying in. So you're okay? Let's bring in Matt Travol.
Bring him in. Bring him in as I clench. I'm good. I'm good.
Yeah.
I'll let you know. I'm not gonna have any more coffee.
Matt Favola, how you doing, Matt? How are you?
Yo, what's up, boys? How we doing? Like,
that's a fucking savage.
Yes,
Matt,
he is.
The other day, if anybody looks on my Instagram and the last post, it's a humble warrior. Less than a week out of his fight, mopping up the mats. He could point to the nearest white belt and say, hey, you Poindexter, get over here, take the mop. But he doesn't say that. He mops it. So Jedi Sue, one of my black belts who helps run the school over there for me, she sent me that video of you. So, and I put it on, I posted it on my Instagram. Because Jimmy, some guys, not this one guy from Australia, he got in the UFC and then he'd be walking out the door and want to help with the mats. Oh, you guys don't have somebody for that? I don't know, motherfucker, you ain't paying. And that's, you know what I'm saying? Like, what?
Yeah.
This is somebody back in the day. It's like they think they're at a certain level. Maddie's a humble warrior. But goddamn, is he a savage? Maddie, you're fighting Drew Dober. Your fight is a pivotal fight for this whole fucking car. You see where they placed you, and that's not by accident. You know what I mean? You're the main card on the main fight on the prelims.
Yeah.
Which is that whenever they do that, they look at the card, they go, look, what card, what fight on this whole mother effa is going to be the fight to make people say, shit, I got to get some more of this. Let me get.
Yeah. What's going to motivate people to spend money to get more?
That's what they're doing, man.
Always.
That's not a coincidence that you're there, Maddie. You know, something like, oh, the main card's right there. I could be right there. Man, dude, this more eyes are going to be on you. And fuck, man, we got a name like Drew Dober. This is what we were waiting for, Maddie. Fuck yeah.
I wanted this big fight. And to get Dober, you know, Dober's a dog, but I'm a dog. And, you know, they put this dog fight, right, free on ESPN. I like to think of myself as a man of the people, so no one has to pay for me to watch. They can watch on ESPN, and that'll motivate them to buy the pay-per-view. So it's a spot.
And you fought in November over a Zaitare. You beat him in the garden. Isn't it nice to not have to? We were just talking to Charles Jourdain about traveling. When you travel, are you in Jersey now, or are you just staying home?
We're in Jersey now.
Do you bring your, I don't know if you have a wife or anything, but do you bring your family with you, or do you prefer to travel alone?
Yeah, right now it's me, my brother, and then my boy Billy Q. And my wife will be here on Thursday night.
Yeah, so you like the family. He likes to travel alone. You feel more comfortable and stuff when your family's with you.
Oh, definitely. You know, we have fun, especially at the Fighter Hotel. Like my dad and my brother, they're huge UFC fans. So just running around, seeing all the fighters and, you know, doing the photo shoot and stuff. We have fun.
Does it help you to, when that's happening, there's those little distractions of the families. Does it kind of keep your mind off the fight and help you just relax and not be too obsessed with what you have to do on Saturday?
Yeah, a little bit, you know, like a lot of media, you know, kind of, and then the photo shoot and stuff, but I love every part of the process.
You do?
Yeah, I do. Cause you know, I dreamt of being here one day and now we're here and, you know, you got to enjoy the ride.
Fuck yeah, man. This is gonna be a wild one, man. Listen, we're going to keep it simple. He's a good looking dude, but the object is to make him ugly. To make him fucking ugly.
Yeah, he's not going to look.
Jimmy, back me up on this.
I mean, yeah, there's a line in Raging Bull where Jake LaMotta is fighting Tommy Gennaro. And he's a pretty kid, too. Ah, so you make him ugly. I mean, that's what you do to a good-looking guy. You just aim for the cheekbones. What are you expecting out of Dober? Because Dober, like you say, he's a dog, and he's never in a boring fight. He's very, very rarely been dominated. I mean, he has been, but it's very rare. What are you expecting out of him?
Yeah, you know, he's a great Muay Thai fighter. He's also a brown belt in jiu-jitsu, and he has some wrestling, but he wants to stand. He wants to, you know, use his power and use his striking. But he will shoot. You know, once I start touching him up, I do expect him to shoot. But, you know, I'm a mixed martial artist. I can wrestle. I got jiu-jitsu. I got striking. So I plan on, you know, using every aspect of my all my weapons on this guy and getting the finish.
And do you like fighting? I guess you do like fighting this close to home. I mean, it makes everything a lot easier. There's probably so much less stress on traveling. Like if you forget something, somebody can always go get it from home.
Yeah, that's definitely nice. And don't have to go to the airport or anything. But I did hit a little bit of traffic on the way out here yesterday, which was kind of shitty. But we made it, and now we're out here, and the vibes are good.
How far is it from our neck of the woods, Maddie? Because me and you live near each other. How far is that thing from Long Island?
Like an hour and a half, but it was like 2 hours. Not too bad.
All right. What time did you leave?
We left at around like 1:30.
Yeah. You going? Did you go through Manhattan or over on the GW?
Over the GW.
Okay, yeah. There's no good way to do it, but it's funny. I was in Long Island one time going to do a gig, and this is probably 1996, and traffic was so bad on the Long Island Expressway, I almost pulled over and wept in the shoulder. I didn't think it would ever end. It just seemed like it was never going to end.
If I saw my little bird on the side of the road crying, I would just scoop you up. Jimmy, don't do that. You're depressing Maddie. He's got a fight coming up.
No, but he knows traffic.
Think about you weeping on the side of the road.
No, I don't care how tough a fighter is. If I was crying because of Long Island Expressway traffic, everyone understands it.
Nobody
would be wise.
And then you're going to be hurting.
Maddie's in fight mode. If he saw you crying on the side of the road, he'd get out and beat the living shit out of you and tell you to man up.
And then he'd get back in his car and he'd hit more traffic and he'd go, oh, I know what that poor guy was crying about. This fucking sucks.
It's true. I'm not a big fan of traffic, Jimmy.
No, I know I annoy people, but I could talk about it with other guys. I could talk about traffic all day. My fucking girlfriend hates it, but I just love talking about traffic. Anyway, are you going to do anything fun while you're in Jersey or no? I mean, not for you, it's your backyard.
This is a business trip. I'm about to crush a workout in, and I'm ready to cut this weight. I can't believe, you know, tomorrow's Thursday already. It's like, you know, I'm finishing up my water load today, and then tomorrow, you know, I start the weight cut, and then, you know, Friday I get to make weight, and then I get to eat some good food, and then I'm excited for the face-offs. You know, I love face-offs, and really, you know, sizing Dober up, and, you know, looking at him in the eyes and letting him know that I'm here to fight. You know, I'm not messing around. I'm prepared. I'm here to fight. And then Saturday we throw down.
And when you're facing off with somebody, does it mean anything to you what they are coming with, what their attitude is? Can you read anything into it? Because on your guy's level, it doesn't seem to matter what the guy across the cage, what expression he has on his face. Doesn't seem to really have any effect on how the fight's going to go.
No, it really doesn't like matter for what he does. You know, I'm always just focused on, you know, I look him in the eyes and I make sure that he knows that I'm ready and that I'm not backing down, that I'm going to be in his face and I'm going to be fighting him for 15 minutes if he's worthy enough. But I don't think he is. I'm gonna finish him. That's what I'm going for.
Now I believe he's ranked, right? You're unranked.
Yeah, he's ranked number 14 in the world.
And you guys are fighting. What do you think that says? I think that probably says that he knows it's going to be a good fight. I don't think he would be dumb enough to underestimate you. So what do you think that says about him being willing to fight you and what he thinks about your style as a fighter?
I give him a lot of credit for accepting this fight. You know, a lot of these high ranked guys don't want to fight, you know, back in the rankings, but, you know, he accepted the fight and, you know, I'm going to make him pay for that. I'm thankful for the opportunity. I think he probably looked at my style and styles make fights. And he knew that this was going to be, you know, a fun fight, you know, just look at him. I'm excited for this. You know, I've been watching Dober forever. You know what, he's got some amazing knockouts, and I just know that me and him in there is just going to be fireworks, and I know I can finish him.
Well, look, man, I will wish you a lot of luck on Saturday. Of course, I'm going to be watching, but I don't know if you're aware of this. If you want to talk about a warrior, Matt has had to shit for most of the show.
I'm good. It went away.
Oh, you okay? Oh, okay.
It went away. All right. Hey, before you go, dude, doesn't it feel great that you got Aljo on the same card? Isn't that even more exciting? We're all going to be down there, and it's just it's even more of just a squad chilling.
Yeah, man, it feels awesome, and just having him finishing camp back home, like having you at the gym at the sparring the other day, like it was unreal, man. Just,
I'm not getting into detail, but Maddie, you had a very good day that day.
Yeah, it was fucking fun.
Maddie's one of those guys, Jimmy. We talk about it with Marab. Maddie's in that category with his fucking endurance.
Yeah.
His endurance is a weapon. And it fucking, you got very good endurance, Maddie. I was getting tired watching you, dude. That was a great day. But both you and Aljo had a great day of sparring. Shit. I saw them before I got on the plane. I saw one of the last sparrings, and it was Maddie, and then it was Aljo, and it was a good day at the office for both of them. If that was the last day of sparring, I would have been happy with it, you know?
Yeah, yeah. It's been a great day. Yeah.
Great. Shit. You were rolling with the Savages, too, so that's fucking great. I saw Danny from Switzerland came by. I saw you and guys were with him, Nas and him. Oh, yeah. That's fucking great, man. Well, listen, man. Shit, I'll be seeing you in a couple days.
Yeah, can't wait.
Have a great fight, man.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate you guys. Keep killing it. You guys are hilarious. I love it.
Thank you, man. Maddie. And love watching you fight. Can't wait to see you against Dober, the main fight of the prelims before this Saturday's pay-per-view. It's going to be a great fight, man. And we'll talk to you after.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
Take care, buddy.
You roll him. That's great. Matt, dude, it's such a nice guy.
Yeah, he's a great guy.
I want you to look at it, and I want you to do a little heart button on it. A little bit. Love it. Because he was on there just mopping the mats. When my buddy gave that to me the other day, I go, look, I'm posting that. I go, what? Look at this. Just humble, dude.
Yeah.
I like that, Jimmy. So I think we should do a few picks before we...
I think so, too. We could just do a couple on the main card, if you wish. Let's see.
Oh, I'm going with Aljo. I don't want to get specific. I'll tell you after specific. But I feel Aljo is going to win.
I'm going to take Aljo because I think Cejudo's a dangerous guy. He's a very solid everywhere and he hits hard. But I think that Aljo finds a way to take his back. And what?
What's that submission called? It's called the rear naked choke.
Yeah. But I think that the first round, my take is that they're going to be feeling each other out in the first round. Cejudo might or might not be as aggressive because he hasn't fought in 3 years. And Aljamain is probably smart enough to try to get his timing down and not just run right into a punch. So I'm going to say Aljamain by the third by submission. I think he'll find a way to take his back. Bilal against Gilbert in the co-main. What do you think?
This is a rough one. But you know what? I really like Gilbert Burns, too. I like it. I love his jiu-jitsu. But Bilal Muhammad, he's really been knowing how to win lately. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I'm going to say Bilal by decision. I think he's going to end up stuffling him and win some of those grappling exchanges by getting on top. And I don't think he's going to be able to submit him or get close to it. But I think he could possibly out-grapple him just to get that top position. And I think that he's going to win like that and win by decision.
Bilal Muhammad. I am going to take Gilbert. He's looked really good lately, and he wants that shot at the title. And now with Edwards having the belt and not Usman, I think that he knows he's one really strong win away from being next on the list. Then again, Bilal knows the same thing, and I like to pick the opposite of you. So I'm going to say Gilbert Burns, but I say decision. I think Bilal is very hard to put away. I think he finds a way to eke out a decision. Third fight, Jan Jonan against Jessica Andrade. Jessica did lose to Blanchfield. She was subbed in the second, but she has looked so good. I think she stops Jan. I think she stops her with her fist in the second.
You know what I'll do?
What?
You like to go the opposite of me? I'll go the opposite of you. I'm thinking Jan by decision. You know?
All right.
That might be crazy, but it just might be a lunatic. Yo, Jim, you may be right. I'm sorry. Listen. And I'm sorry about making up that whole thing about you liking Street Fighter 2. And
that's okay. I don't mind at all. I'm glad you didn't make in your pants.
No, that went away, Jimmy. I don't know if it's ever coming back.
Yeah, it'll be back.
I got a good other half an hour in me. What do you want to discuss?
Now, what's that?
We got to go. But listen, Jimmy, let's give a proper plug for this show. And what do you got going on? What's new with you?
I do have a look. Tonight, 7 p.m., I will be in the Fat Black Pussycat here in New York every Wednesday at 7. I do an hour. May 19th, Bethlehem, PA. May 20th, I'm doing the Montclair Wellmont Theater in New Jersey. I have two shows with Bert Kreischer. These are giant outdoor arena shows in June. One is sold out. One is still on sale. They added a show.
When is his movie coming out?
It's already out. I think it was early April.
Is it in theater?
Maybe I'm wrong. You know what? Maybe I'm wrong. No, it might be May. I'm sorry. I don't know, buddy. I'll just answer you. I don't know.
Did you do the mothership yet?
That's funny you say that. I just went on sale yesterday.
Tell me.
For July 14th and 15th, I'm doing Rogan's Club in Austin, Texas. I've done a spot there, and I did kill Tony. It was fantastic, phenomenal. Great club, fantastic. So I'm heading down July 14th and 15th, four shows in Austin. Because I'm an asshole, I'm going to Austin in July. I couldn't be stupider than to go to Texas in July, but I'm doing it.
I think it's so cool that he opened up a comedy club.
Like, yeah, I love it. And it's really, it's a beautiful club. I'm happy I've been there already. I'm happy I've already done a set there. I'm happy I did Kill Tony there. I kind of know the vibe of the room, and I love it. And I'm debating, he has cameras and stuff there, so I want to see what it feels like to shoot something there. I like that room a lot. I can't wait to do it.
So exciting.
Yeah, I hope people buy tickets.
What's that?
Hope people buy tickets and come see me.
Jimmy, I'm sure you're going to be fucking...
What were you just asking me to before this? There was something you just asked a question before Joe's club.
Not about Street Fighter 2 movie.
No, I was going to look something up. And then you asked about Joe's club.
Oh, shit. Hey, Jake, the producer, you paying attention?
Do you know that? Jake? Yeah, Matt made me think for a second.
I don't remember either, man, because I do have the memory of a gold.
Me too, buddy. We were in mid-chat, and you asked what was going on, but there was something right before
that. I was thinking about that. I want to thank Andy, the producer over there, the person who put that together, producer, whatever he did, the guy that who organized the For the Love of MMA. It was really nice. It was really nice. The girl Mel, who was the working with me, very took care of me, nice girl. And everybody was really cool. I had a great time. How about that? You know, I don't like being with my family, but you know, to do something like that, me and George, you know, he had some stomach issues too, so he talked to me a lot about that and talked to me about some intermittent fasting. And then he followed up by writing a whole thing to me about what he did. He's a good dude. George St. Pierre is a good man.
He's a very nice guy. Very nice person.
Very good guy. Anderson Silver, and he's such a nice guy too. You listen.
Did you say hi to Anderson?
Yeah. Oh, I'm sitting down, Sonny Gloves, and I hear, hello, coach. Wow. And I turn around, and it's him, you know? And I always feel so bad that time that I was cornering against him, and they said his leg was broken. I said, good, fuck him. And I didn't realize the leg was in half.
You were in the moment, man.
I didn't know if the fight was stopped or why it was stopped. We didn't know what happened. I don't want to bring it up again. Sometimes I feel like that, like guy's in the worst agony of his life. And I said that, but I didn't know it was in half. So anyway,
did you ever apologize to him or explain it to him at least?
I said it to his manager. I called up his manager, Ed Suarez, who's a nice guy.
Yeah.
I said it on the Ariel Helwani show. I think I said it on, like, I went out and I talked to people about it, cause I felt awful about it. You know?
Yeah.
So
I'm sure Anderson knows.
I think he knows I'm a good guy.
Dude, your guy had just retained the belt.
Stopped. What happened? Then somebody goes, his leg's broke. I go, so it's over. I could fuck him.
Of course. You didn't, you were in the moment, Matt. That's all. I'm sure Anderson
knows. I respect that guy. And it was nice seeing all my peers how many years later and everybody doing well. You know, I love seeing people that made it through the other side, man. They got through this sport. Now they're doing well, you know?
Yeah. What is Chuck doing? I haven't seen Chuck in a while.
Chuck's good, man. I was talking to Chuck, you know, and, you know, he reminds me of that. The Unfiltered Army is going to get this because they're pretty good. They're good at my references. You ever see the Muppet movie? And in the Muppet movie, they're going to... A mean man. You got me by some. You're a mean, mean man.
I apologize. My camera turned off.
I know. Listen, I'll be 49 in a month. June 2nd, I'll be 49. Your average close to 50-year-old doesn't bring up the Muppet movie. But the point is this: in the Muppet movie, Jimmy, there's a scene that reminds me of Chuck Liddell when he's going to Hollywood. Like, oh, you want to go with us? They're at this big car lot, and the guy runs off this big thing. And then also he comes back and he's like, where'd they go? I want to go to Hollywood. It's a big Muppet and a big jaw. Yeah. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's you? Just yesing to get the fuck off the...
So no, I do remember it.
Yeah, you're missing Chiesa, you cocksucker. Was it? All right, Jimmy, that's our show. You're stuck with me. You're stuck. Chiesa was a one-time thing.
Honestly, he's a nice guy, but one time was good with Michael. I'm happy you're back.
I'm back. And I'm.
But then again, if you leave again, I would love to get Chiesa back.
I'm gonna put in word to the powers that be that he's not allowed on again. Only Dean Thomas, because I know you don't want to work with him.
I love Dean Thomas too. Chiesa was just really good.
Yeah, I'm gonna listen to that episode.
Not with him, but it's always a delight to have Matt here. It doesn't feel the same.
We have so much fun, Jimmy.
Yeah, it's a fun hour.
You know? Hey, man, have a great weekend. I'll talk to you after Aljo's fight, man.
Yes, and thank you to Matt Favola and, of course, Charles Jourdain. And I can't wait for this. A great, great weekend. Good luck to Aljamain if I don't talk to you before, okay?
Goodbye, everyone.
Goodbye, guys. We'll see you.